Joined in the studio by Sylvia, who is a freelance columnist, author. Her features have appeared in national and regional magazines and online journals. Sylvia's 10th book, Barking and Dagenham, from Old Photographs, is still selling well, and she's also vice president of the SWWJ. Her ever-popular blog stands at 269,000 page views, and our special guest writer today is John Cannell from Brentwood. So good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll try and sit up, John. I'm terribly stooped. So I'm going to be, as I get older, I'm going to get stooped, because this is the way I should be sitting, and that is the way I normally sit, slumped. I'm going to be talking about gardens. I would like to get into gardening, but I'm just a bit lazy.
And you're very busy.
Well, kind of. I could do a little bit of gardening, but I find it exhausting.
Yes.
That's all right. That's why always my mum, although she's not mobile now, I always used to admire. She'd be outside with my dad digging, and they'd be growing tomatoes, and
they had good memories, haven't you?
Yeah, grapevine and stuff. In fact, they grew a grapevine. Must say, John, my dad put one up of a grapevine, and it'd only been up for it was all green. And what he did, he went out and he bought grapes, and he didn't tell my mum, and then he hung them. So when she went down there, she went, "Oh, Dennis, come and see, this is amazing." And there was a big bunch of grapes. And she thought they had a little vineyard, but it wasn't. That's really cruel, but never mind. Yeah. Now we're going to be starting off talking to Sylvia, and then we're going to talk to John about his books and loads more as well, because we're talking about Worley Place. Start off with Sylvia. What's been happening with you?
And the readers in Billericay are, I think we have now about 13, 14. We can take one or two more. Mm. I've been reading Wild Swans. I'm still halfway through, because it's very hard to read for pleasure, but also write as your job.
Yep.
So I keep swapping, but I am enjoying Wild Swans, which is quite an old book. Yung Chan, but also Edna St. Vincent Millay. It's a fascinating book. But you do need to concentrate, otherwise you lose the thread. I don't know if John's read it.
What's it about?
It's about China in 1894, and what it was like, and all the changes, the social changes, and it's a fascinating book. Mm. So very different from what I'm actually working on as a project, because I work on different projects, as you know. But I am enjoying it.
Do you read? Do you read in the bath, or do you read outside of the garden?
We have a bath. We have showers.
No, read in the shower, not with the Kindle.
It gets a bit.
Sorry, John, I cut across you. Then what were you going to say?
Right. I just think, say I have read it. Yeah, I thought it was a brilliant book.
It is.
But yes. Reading the Chinese names was a bit of a pain.
Very hard to
And I did have to concentrate, but it was worth it. Yeah. Lovely book.
But also, we've got Rose Tremaine book that the others are reading, and I'll try and catch up with that one. That's the Gustav Sonata, and then The Comfort of Strangers by Ian McEwan. You see, Billericay Library and Essex Libraries are very good to their groups. We have 700 groups through Essex. They say we can't read and write, but honestly. And the one that's coming up I must read is Donna Tartt, two T's at the end, The Goldfinch. And also Precious Bane by Mary Webb. There's no way I'm going to be able to have time to read. I'm a fast reader, but you've got to absorb and remember. Otherwise, there's no point. You can't enjoy them, can you?
Yeah.
The readers group is going well. The writers in Brentwood now. John was once a member. Are you still a member?
I still get the magazine. I haven't attended for some time because I found I didn't have enough time to do everything.
But anyway, they're doing well. 60 members. I should think half have been published, and lately some have been published by big companies, as well as e-books, do-it-yourself stuff, which you can do, I understand. But we work with publishers. So that's all working. London is going very well. You know, Society of Women Writers and Journalists. Lunch is coming up. Some big speakers there. You can go on their website, which is www.swwj.co.uk. And everything is on there, including pictures. We've got Anne Widdecombe, who's our one of our presidents.
She took over from Victoria Wood, or was she?
She did, we've got, quite a lot of well-known writers, as well as ourselves, who don't know me. The other thing is Billericay Katie Museum, Katie Wilkie, who has been in the past. She's working on her books in the museum, and we've got some wonderful books. Do come and visit. Every day we're open from 2 to 5, except Saturday wonderful.
And is there a garden there as well?
We've got the garden that we're working on. This is the whole point, really, of contacting our John here, because Katie thought that she'd turn it from an Elizabethan garden to Victorian, and then I thought of Miss Wilmot, who's one of my love anything to do with Miss Wilmot up at Worley, which you'll hear about in a moment. And I thought John could come down and identify the plants, but he tells me he can't. He's given me a list of Latin terms, and I've got the common names, you know. So we're going to put the two names on the plant labels. And the other thing at the moment is De Rougemont Manor up at Great Worley, which is owned by a really good friend called Jason Hilton. I was up there last night. He's got wonderful gardens. His place was once the Goldings, owned by Evelyn Heseltine, who was a chap married to a nice lady. But they had a daughter who married General De Rougemont, which is why it's De Rougemont Manor. So that's a run-up to what we're doing. I'm working on a new project. No more books, but it's all to do with gardening.
Lovely. Right, we're going to take a very short break, then we're going to come back and we're going to have a chat with John, and we're also going to find out about Worley Place as well. And there's a very famous garden designer called Ellen Wilmot, and we're going to be talking about her because she does feature in John's third book, but we're going to be talking about The Wall and the Walnut Tree, which are John's previous books as well. Now, joining us in the studio is our guest writer for this month, John Cannell from Brentwood. He's retired, but he hasn't stopped working since, and he's going to tell us all about the Brentwood Writers' Circle, which he was a member of, and he is an archivist at Worley Place as well. You are retired. We say retired, but you haven't really stopped working. So you were a chartered engineer.
I was, yes, and enjoyed it. Met lots of very interesting people. And when I retired, I thought, oh dear, life's going to be very boring. But no, it's been fantastic. I recommend it to anyone.
Yeah. Well, I think the younger generation won't be able to afford to retire. They'll be working forever, so it's a good generation.
No. I've always liked writing. Got very irritated at some of the letters and reports that some of the engineers wrote. It used to drive me crackers because the grammar was hopeless, you know. So I've always enjoyed it. I've won a few competitions. In fact, I won a competition when I was about 12. And got a ride in a helicopter, the Evening Standard helicopter was the prize. Gosh. So, yes, I won a lot of prizes for letters and short stories.
Have you still got that short story or the clipping from the paper from then, when you were 12?
No, I haven't.
Oh, what a shame. Do you remember what the story was about?
Well, it was about flying without wings.
Yeah.
And, of course, when you're in a helicopter, although you have got these wings whistling around them, they're not really the same. Yeah. And it's a lovely feeling.
How exciting.
Yes, I loved it.
And did you ever go in, did you ever sort of travel in that again, or did you take lessons yourself from that?
No, I didn't. Well, I wanted to join the RAF, but I'm red-green colourblind. Not colour deficient, actually, but they call it colourblind. So that barred me from being a pilot, because if you're trying to read a map and you get the red and the line and the green lines muddled, or the gauges or the lights that come on, you're in trouble. Yeah. So that was a shame. So I took up designing aeroplanes instead.
Yeah.
I had to work hard at school then. I had to stop playing cricket and rugby and start learning. Yeah. And then I went from there, did an apprenticeship with Vickers at Weybridge, had a lovely time, but the bottom fell out of the aircraft industry in the 1960s.
Yeah.
So I moved over to building services, that's air conditioning and the like, for mostly laboratories, schools, and that sort of thing. And enjoyed that too, not so technically challenging, but very interesting people.
Yeah,
you know, and I found I enjoyed that most of all, meeting people.
Mm. You retired a few years ago, and you're now I nearly say activist when I read this, because my reading is not particularly brilliant, but it's an archivist at Worley Place. And what does that entail?
It's got such a Sylvia knows the history of the place is fantastic, but it's sometimes hard to find exactly what did happen in the old days. Mm. And when Ellen Wilmot died, her sister died before her. And she was married into the Barclay family. That's Barclay Castle, not Barclay's Bank. And they're in Worcester. And all her paperwork went to their dungeons and gradually went mouldy and were in a terrible state. A lot of them were. And after a lot of pestering, we got permission to go and look at them. And they were in boxes almost in random order, so you couldn't go and look up a particular subject or particular anything. And started going through the boxes, and the archivist there allowed me to photograph a lot of Ellie Wilmot's letters. Well, not her letters, of course. They were letters to her. Mm. And I also got friendly with the author of a book about Hancocks in Sussex, because her great-grandfather or something wrote to Ellen Wilmot. And she had a shoebox, or two shoeboxes, full of Ellen Wilmot's letters.
Oh, I would have
loved for people it. That people that don't know who she is, because she's very famous, but if people are out there listening saying, who's Ellen Wilmot, who is she?
She was a very famous Victorian and Edwardian gardener who... her father moved from South London to Worley because it was a much more healthy place. He wasn't enormously rich. He was a solicitor. And she loved gardening. Well, she was brilliant at all sorts of other things as well, but loved gardening. And he allowed her to get on with it. When he died, and then later her mother died, she was left in charge because her sister had got married and moved away. Mm. So there she was alone on this estate, a 35-acre estate. And she got left an enormous amount of money by her godmother, Countess Tasker.
Up the road.
And spent it all on the gardens.
Thousands.
And produced the an alpine garden that was the envy of all the other gardeners, not just in the UK, but I think in Europe.
Beautiful.
It was well known. And all the experts and royalty used to visit to look round the garden.
And this was at a time, obviously, you're thinking now, well, what's so different? But back in the day that she was born, women got married if you were over the age of 20 when you were a spinster, probably never likely to get married. So she was a very, very feisty woman, wasn't she? She was ahead of her time.
Oh, absolutely, yes. It was very hard for women at the time.
Yeah.
But sadly, she spent so much money developing a garden, and she bought a chateau in France and another one in Italy, and increased the size of the estate from 35 acres to 90, and then gradually had to sell all those things off because she'd run out of money. Mm-hmm. And spent the last... And it's heartbreaking reading some of the letters, but she spent the last 20 years or so actually broke.
Yeah.
Living a very hand-to-mouth existence.
Mm-hmm. She had a butler, didn't she?
And she had a butler, Robinson. That's right. And he and the alpine gardener, Jacob Mora, were the two stalwarts. They stayed with her sort of for 40 years or so. Yeah.
Jacob came over from Switzerland. She brought him over as a youngster.
That's right.
And he had nine children in that little cottage.
Yes, yes,
you can
that's
see
right.
it, can't you?
That's right. And I, unfortunately, he was a Swiss person. His Swiss wife died just after the birth of her ninth child, and his cousin came over and looked after them for just a very short while, and then she married the daughter of the people that used to run the Bothy where he lodged before he got married. And apparently he always fancied her. And we think there was some pressure put on him to, as a Swiss man, to marry a Swiss. But he married her, and I spoke to his youngest daughter, Iris, who moved to California. Mm. I spoke to her on a number of occasions, and she said how happy they all were, and they treated Maggie as she was. She was a real mother, and they really loved her, and they really enjoyed and loved and were very happy living in that small cottage. No television.
No.
Mobile phones to play with.
No,
nothing. Just a radio, and that was it.
John has written in his books. You haven't mentioned your books yet, but the story comes out.
Yes,
bit
yes,
by
it does.
Bit, we get little bits. And,
yes,
Now, we are going to talk about the two. You've got The Wall and The Walnut Tree and the third book. I'm just going to play a quick bit of ads and then we're going to come back and talk to John about his writing.
Okay.
And we're going to find out about all the characters, including the new book, which a central character is around Ellen Wilmot as well. So we'll be back right after this. Now it's just coming up to 11:54 and I'm joined in the studio for this month's book club with Sylvia Kent and writer John Cannell. And John's been telling us all about Ellen Wilmot and the Morley Place. So you've already written two books, The Wall and The Walnut Tree. Give us a brief outline of both of those books before we talk about the new one.
Okay. The Wall was the first one and I wrote that because I was helping to repoint the wall in the wall garden and a brick fell out. And there was a big gap behind it. Mm. And by the time I'd got home, I thought, oh, I wonder what could have been hidden in that hole. And it just went on from there. Mm. And within about a week, I'd got the outline of a story in my head.
Yeah.
But it took a long time to actually write the book. When I'd written it, I thought, crikey, if I actually publish it, by the time I'd paid the publisher and the shops and the literary agent and everyone else, it's not going to be worth it. So I sort of gave up. But then someone suggested that I tried getting it printed.
Yeah.
So I got it printed, got a little bit of help from someone because it had to be in PDF, not in Word. And he helped me with the picture and the cover. And I found that instead of getting about 50p or less per book, I could sell it for £5, which was a reasonable price for a paperback. And Essex Wildlife Trust, I didn't get anything at all for it. I didn't want anything. But Essex Wildlife Trust could get £2.50 per copy, which made it well worth doing. Mm. I then got a print run of 400, but they just disappeared so quick. So I got another print run, and then a third. And now I'm nearing the end of the fourth print run.
It's fantastic.
There's about 1,000 altogether. So it's actually made Essex Wildlife Trust £2,500.
Wonderful.
Which was great.
And the second book?
The second book, The Walnut Tree.
Love it, yes.
Was written for a different, slightly different reason. I don't want to stray too far, but my brother, I've got a twin brother. And he was very, very good at cricket and played for Essex schools and loved it. And then one day they were going to play at the Oval to play Surrey. Fantastic. Except, oh dear, he wasn't invited. Although he'd played very well, got lots of wickets, he couldn't go because it was a social occasion. And he was just from a grammar school, not a private school.
Oh.
So the part of the story which deals with Elsie and is the story of two people from a slightly different class actually getting together and finding that class doesn't matter at all.
No.
So that was the reason I wrote it. But then all sorts of other plots tried to make it interesting.
It is.
You know, obviously there was someone had to be murdered or killed anyway.
As you do. Now tell us about the brand. We're going to come up to the news pretty quick. So tell us about this new book.
Ripples.
Well, the new book I've started it, got about halfway through. It's called Ripples in a Pond. And it's more to do with the fact that everything you do, I do, Sylvia does, affects someone else.
Yeah.
And these are the ripples that you see in a pond. And something you do, which might seem very insignificant to you, it might be just a hello or being pleasant or helping someone, can have lovely consequences. And I'm trying to write the book about the consequences of Ellen Wilmot's relationship with other people and Jacob Moore's kindness and some other people that I've introduced into the book.
And when will that be finished? Sort of towards the end of the year?
Oh, people keep asking me that.
He's looking scared. I don't know why.
I'm really going to have a really good go to try and finish it this year.
Good.
But I want to make it... Yes. It's more difficult than the others because it's a more reflective sort of story rather than sort of gung-ho thing. But Yeah, hopefully this year.
We'll help you with the publicity.
Oh, thank you very much.
So thank you both very much for coming in today. If you want to find out more about Sylvia, she does have an excellent blog, which is... it's Blogspot, and it's Sylvia Kent. If you just put in Sylvia Kent, I think you come up top search in Google anyway, so you're right at the top. And as for John, if you want to find out more, it's John Cannell, and it's CANNELL, and you can find The Wall and The Walnut Tree. I don't know whether you'll be able to get the copies or through. Are they still available, the copies?
Yeah, they are. Either go to Thorndon Visitor Centre, or speak to anyone at Worley, any of the volunteers.
We're going to go to the news now. Thanks very much to my guests.
Thank you.
I'll be back after 11.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.